Thank you so much. And I want you to take for a few moments this evening, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, if you will, please. I want to give you tonight four principles of faith promise giving tonight. I want you to understand the difference between faith promise giving and tithing. There's a big difference. When I come over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I might say to you that I enjoy 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter. Amen? What a chapter that is. A lot of people love 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. They just don't like 1 Corinthians 16, the collection chapter, because that deals with money. But when I come over here to that particular chapter, I notice four things I want to give you rather quickly here. I shouldn't say quickly, I'll do my best, but I want you to notice four things in this passage here. One, we're to give as the Lord has prospered. Number two, we need to go through life with goals. I'm talking about mission goals, whatever you go. I find so many people do not have goals in their life. So he talks about give as the Lord prosper, and then going through life with goals, and then govern your life by His will, and then certainly going through adversity, because you're going to grow through adversity. I was thinking of the missionary. I tell you, I pray a great deal for the missionaries in the area of their health. The reason is I've never seen so many missionaries under attack physically as I've seen in the last few years. And I believe the devil is out to destroy our missionaries every way he can. So these four principles here. Now he says in verse 1 of chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints. Now you need to underline that, the for the saints. He's not dealing with a collection for the church, but he's dealing with a collection through the church. Now my voice doesn't hold up. You'll just have to, I'm going to get through this, but I know that I will tonight. But I want you to think with me in that particular thought here, because this has nothing to do. A lot of times I find people will use this passage to teach, you know, you don't have to tithe. This is as the Lord has prospered. Well, I want to not say to you dogmatically tonight, this has nothing to do with tithing. This is over and above tithing. Matter of fact, this church, like so many churches, had promised to give a gift to the Church of Jerusalem during the time of great famine, and they hadn't fulfilled their commitment. So Paul is going to write in 2 Corinthians, and he's going to remind them to live up to their commitment. So the difference between that and tithing, I don't ever want you to ever think about giving your tithe to faith promise. Don't ever do that. And you should tithe. You don't have to pray about tithing. And you go over there to Malachi, the third chapter, and when you turn there, that last book of the Old Testament, I call it Malachi, that Italian fella, in chapter 3, verse 8, he said, will a man rob God? I'm afraid we've got too many robbers in our churches today because they don't give of their tithe. I hear people many times will say to me, I can't afford to tithe. I want you to know tonight, you can't afford not to tithe. That's God's principle. And when God gives a principle, you need to recognize God will take care of the people behind the principle. Will a man rob God? But you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he gives here in verse 10, but you bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now that's interesting. The storehouse, because I believe without question the storehouse is the local church. You put your tithe to the local church. You put your faith promise. You put your offerings to the local church. As a matter of fact, in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, two, he says, upon the first day of the week, let everyone be laid by him in store. And I believe that's in the storehouse, as God has prospered him. And that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I tell you what, I've been blessed. I remember years ago when I was training for the ministry, I was a sophomore in school. You know, every sophomore has all the answers, is not too sure what the questions are. And I remember we'd sit around discussing theology, and we were discussing whether or not what's tithing in the Bible. Well, you know, two or three of the students had convinced me that maybe I didn't need to tithe while I was in college because, after all, I was getting ready to serve the ministry. That only lasted 3 weeks. After I was bombarded with conviction, bombarded with extra bills, bombarded with all kinds of things, I said, Lord, I surrender. I believe you want us to tithe. And I haven't stopped since that day. I rejoice in that. But go back with me here to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So we need to make sure that faith promise has nothing to do with your tithe. So he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, every one of you, now listen to me, every one of you who are members and part and blessings of this ministry, you need to participate in faith promise. You need to fulfill that. As God has what? Prospered. As God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, stop right here, because when the Apostle Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church, he had told them, and he was asking the churches to give over and above their tithe to a need. And then that church didn't do that, so I have you now, and we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 16, but if you'll go to 2 Corinthians, and if you'll go there to 2 Corinthians and go to the 8th chapter, you will find that he's reminding them that they did not live up to their commitment, and he was reminding them how important that faith promise, the promise by faith that God would do that, and he uses the church of Macedonia as an example. And the church of Macedonia did 4 things that I draw your attention to tonight. Number one, I want you to know something. They gave out of their poverty. That's where beginning begins. You say, I don't really have it to give. God will supply that extra amount of money. Notice here, he said, moreover, brethren, we do ye to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And then he makes a couple statements how that in great trial of affliction. Notice the sorrow of their circumstances. Underline that word affliction, because that's what he's referring to, the sorrow. That word affliction here means to be crushed under pressure. And this church was greatly persecuted. It was in great, notice that word poverty. It literally meant what it says. They didn't have the money to give. And so we see here the sorrow of their circumstances, but we notice, secondly, the surplus of their joy. What are you living on? I don't want to go around the sorrow of my circumstances. I want to be the surplus of the joy. And where do you get that joy? I'm glad you asked me that today. We come to verse 2, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance, underline the second word. First, the affliction. Here you see the sorrow of their circumstances. In the midst of that, we see the surplus of their joy. And the abundance of their joy, why? And their deep poverty bound the riches of their liberality. Why? Because they gave out of their poverty. They gave out of that. And God gave them that. I'm convinced today that they were focusing upon the abundance of what God would do in their life if they would just trust him. And my prayer tonight is that will be the case. Joy. Isn't it great to have joy? Listen, happiness is one thing. A lot of people have happiness. It comes and it goes. But I want you to notice something tonight. Joy is a gift from God. Go there to John 15 sometime. Look at verse 11. Matter of fact, when you go over there, you recognize in verse 11 that Jesus says, I give you my joy. And you know, that's supernatural. I'm glad to have joy tonight. It is a gift from God, and it is granted to spirit-filled people, and it is give, and joy gives when there is a need. God gives you joy. I love to give. I hope you enjoy to give. I hope that becomes a tremendous thought in your life. And notice if you will here in verse 3, you'll find the word mentioned here twice. It is the word power, because that brings up the second thought. They not only gave out of their poverty. You say, listen, I don't know what God... Listen, I have found that God will lay on my heart, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, a goal. And when God lays that on your heart, God will supply that need. But he wants to know if you're willing to do that. And so we find here, for to their power. Underline verse 3, that word power. The word power is the word for ability. It's the word for ability. Now, there's two things I have found in giving. Number one, you've got to give of yourself before you can give of your substance. I'm reminded of the story of a little five-year-old little boy that he had attended a missions conference, and they talked about giving, and he went to his daddy, and he said, "Daddy, I got nothing to give." And then he remembered that the preacher, the speaking that night, the four, was talking about you got to give of yourself. And when the plate was passed around, he got up, and he whispered something into the fellow who was passing the plate, and what he was whispering is, "Put that on the floor." And when the man put the plate on the floor, the little boy just stepped into the plate. You know why? He was indicating, "I'm going to give myself first, myself." And you're never going to get a. And listen, tithe. Listen, you don't have to pray about tithe. It's just you give it. I mean, you just give it. It's duty. I like years ago when I came down south, they talked about paying your tithe. And I thought that sounds kind of carnal. Then it dawned on me, they're right. I mean, I don't even pray about it. I just do it because that's what the Bible says to do. But now we're talking about something a little different here, and give of the power and that the ability. And so you need, first of all, to give of yourselves. And that's what that word means there in verse 3. "For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their prayer, the willing of themselves." Boy, I ask you tonight to jump into the offering plates, literally in your thought life. Are you, you know? And jump into that plate. And then secondly, give of your substance. There's two verses that stand out to me that I want to draw your attention to. And the first one is found over there in I'll find it here. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. And then I got another one. You know, I this verse has been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years, but I just discovered something about a verse I want to share with you besides this one. "For who maketh thee," notice verse 7. A lot of times we say, you know, we have a tendency today to hang on something that isn't ours. Everything you have, pardon my grammar, ain't yours. Just isn't yours. When I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says this. He said, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst now receive?" Not receive. Let me read it again. "What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst not receive it, why does thy glory as thou hast not received it?" In other words, we act like what we have, it wasn't given to us. Everything we had, God gave to us. It doesn't belong to us. It's on loan. Then I had another verse that just spoke to my heart recently. I was going through the book of Proverbs, and I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, and I want you to turn to chapter 19, and I want you to look down here at verse 17. You know, did you ever lend to the Lord? Isn't that a strange thing to say? Look over here in chapter 19 and look at verse 7. "He that pitieth the poor," now the poor is the needy. It's not necessarily, though, it's the need. Every missionary here tonight has a need. Every one of them have a need. I don't know if a missionary doesn't have a need. "He that pitieth the poor and lendeth unto the Lord." Underline that. Lendeth to the Lord. You see a need. The poor, the missionary is trying to get to the field, trying to raise his support. And some of them have to travel hundreds of thousands of miles to get their support. He said, "He that hath pity," I have pity on a missionary. I got a missionary daughter and son-in-law. I have pity on them. It's rough, particularly when they grant the parents to take care of the children sometimes. That's really, I mean, you know, I know, I'm really feeling it all. "And he that hath pity upon the poor, lend it to the Lord, and get that, and that which he had given, will he pay him what? Again." You can't outgive God. He'll give it back to you. Somebody said it well when he said, "Listen, I have a shovel, and I just shovel what I give into God's bin, and God shovels back to me into my bin, and he's got a bigger shovel than I have." God has a bigger shovel than I have. And when I really see the importance of giving, God begins to deal in my own life. So give out of your poverty. Don't wait until you have it. Expect God to give you a miracle and give, and the joy of giving. First give of yourself. Your understanding that what you have doesn't belong to you in the first place. And God can take it away anytime He wants to. And secondly, give what's going to your power, your ability to give. God's going to lay on your heart that which you're to give. And then thirdly, give to prove your love. Go back to our passage there in 2 Corinthians, if you will, please. Drop down there to chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look with me, if you will, please. I'll find it here. 2 Corinthians 8. Look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. You love the Lord. Aren't you glad somebody came to you with the gospel? When I hear Brother Ivins tell the fact that he was over there preaching and God just had seven people saved. Isn't that a blessing? I remember my first time in Pompeii that I was there. It was when Rickson was about ready to talk about the church up in whatever you pronounce it. You know what it is. And he wanted me to preach one night up there. And so he took me up and we trailed the course and we got up there and a lot of the Pompeians gathered around us. And remember that service that we had? It was a blessing to me. I'll never forget it, because when I got through preaching, Yossi, one of the members, Yossi walked up to me. Did I pronounce it anywhere near, right, close? No, Susan's saying no. Mind your own business, Susan. All right. And he shook my hand and he put a $20 bill in my hand. And my first reaction was, you can't afford this. And I was about ready to give it back, but that would have been an insult. There's no way I could have given that back. But that was the most valuable $20 bill I think I have received in a long time, because I know Yossi didn't have it to give. But he had tears running down his eyes when he gave it to me, and I thought, God, this, it's like a $20,000 to my own soul that day, because he was proving the sincerity of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw the sign on the back car. It said, if you love Jesus, honk. I hate that sign. So another sign is, if you love Jesus, give. Any old goose can honk. I like that sign better. Any old goose can honk. Give to prove your sincerity of your love, and then he will make some statement. Give. So giving, let me make sure you understand three things. Giving is an expression of your love. That's what verse 8 and 9 are about. Giving is an expression of the sincerity of your love. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love, to test it. God, do you really love God tonight? You're going to give. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich for your sakes. He became poor, that through your poverty, I might become rich. I'm glad he loved me. You know, I when people say, I love you, you ever have somebody say, I love you, then they say, but. Our Lord says, I love you, and I want to prove it. Came to this earth 2,000 years ago. You're loving tonight? I may say this to you. Giving is an expression of that love. Secondly, let me make sure you understand. Secondly, giving is not only an expression of love in verse 8 and 9, but in verse 10, this may be hard for us to understand at first. Giving must be an emotion of the heart. You know, God's got to get hold of our heart. You know, look there in verse 10. And herein have I given my advice. I'm giving you his life, for it, that is feeding for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. In other words, a year ago, you gave with your heart. Here, now listen to me. Never give with your head. Because if you do, your head will talk you out of it later on. I remember many years ago, I was training for the ministry, and my wife and I were in a missions conference, and I had $20, and the Lord said, give it. And I thought, good night, I can't afford this. And I hardly got a much out of the message. But he kept saying, just give it, give it. And I thought, Lord, you know, Then I thought maybe I should make chains in the offering plate. Probably not a good idea. How would I embarrass my wife there and myself? Put a 20 in and hoping I can get something back. So I put that in and I said, Lord, here it is, all yours. And I gave it with my heart, but my head was trying to talk me, or listening, trying to talk me out of it. And I said to turn to Marilyn, I said, well, honey, we don't get paid for another week, and I don't know what we'll do, but God knows. That was on Sunday. On Monday, we got a check in the mail for $50. And I got Baptistical when you can eat. You ever been there? That's a wonderful thing. And I share with you today that God did a wonderful thing that day for my own heart. Giving must be an emotion, of the heart. It must be an expression of love. And finally, it must be an execution of the will, because you come over here to verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, there may be a performance so solid that which you also have. Do it. I'll go back as I close to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Again, as I just make comments on the other thoughts. So give as the Lord prospers. Expect God to do something. Between now, we're going to give you a faith promise card. Our goal would be to see $900 a week come in. By the way, I'm told, Brother Matt said, we can just, every family in this church, try to give just $20 more. Some of you can give 20 more. Some of you can give 25 more. Some of you can only give 15. It's equal sacrifice, not equal giving. God has shown it. But I share with you today, as I look at the second here, he says, look here, if you will, I like verse 5. Sometimes you have to stop at a verse and think about it a little bit, and I thought of verse 5. Because he not only tells us, give as the Lord prospers, but go through life with goals. Paul had a goal. Look what he said. He said, now I will come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. You know, you kind of skim through that verse. But you have to understand how they were traveling in that day. He said, that's my what? Goal. You have a goal? What you think God would have you give? You need to reach a goal. Paul had some goals in his life. You know, I found out if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And I believe faith promise involves some goals. Now, we got a goal. We'd like to see our church here give $900 a week to Faith Promise. And that would be a blessing. Amen? I mean, God would be excited about that. But you know what? God is not going to do that unless he does it through us. Thirdly, I see not only give as the Lord prospers and go through life with goals, but govern your life by his will. Look there in verse 6 and 8. And it may be that I will, and underline the word, I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry with you, if what? If the Lord permits. That's his will. That's his will. These missionaries are really, can I say this, operating by God's will. These people here want to get to the mission field right here. The Ibans, you've already got your support, and find out how you focus. Listen, by the way, when you give your reports, let us know where you are financially in these reports. Missionaries don't like to talk about money. Well, here you do it anyway. You know why? We need to know. And praying today because God's will. I'm praying that everyone will say, Lord, what is your will for me to give to this? And then fourthly, not only give as the Lord prospers, go through life with goals, govern your life by his will. Are you in the will of God tonight? But fourthly, grow through adversity. Go through adversity. Verse 9, for a great door and effectual is open to me. That's about just the way. Isn't the first part of this verse great missionaries? You know, I thought about, now we got most of all of our missionaries at this conference are None of them are in Europe. None of them are in those areas. But I thought about how Russia's open. I thought about how Europe is open, you know. When I was some of your ages, you couldn't go there because the communists had it all. God has opened some doors. Praise the Lord for that. But notice the rest of the verse. For a great and effectual door is open to me, and there are many what? Adversaries. The devil would do what he can to stop these missionaries from doing what God wants them to do. There are adversaries out there. Now, I think one of them we need. And by the way, I'm just going to say this in closing. I've only said the word closing four times. I'm going to eventually mean it. Pray for the health of your missionaries. The devil is attacking them left and right. Pray for the language barriers that our missionaries. You got a daughter and son-in-law who are lonely in some respects tonight because they can't speak that language. I was talking to a charismatic not too long who believes in tongues, and I said, I wish it was for the day, and they would not have to learn the language. They could just speak it. But we don't have that today. Pray for the language barriers. Pray for health, that God will just keep them healthy, and thirdly, keep them that they discipline their lives so that they do the job God has called. Father, I'm grateful tonight for these, our missionaries, as we just opened this missions conference tonight. And I'm thankful for everyone, God, that has blessed our this church by being part of the missionary outreach of this program. Father, I don't know what you're going to do this week. It may not be something here at the altar, but it can be in our own hearts. Lord, I pray that this conference, you'll call some young people, older people, to the mission field. Follow the steps of what these are doing here today. We'll thank you for it. I pray today, Father, there's some folks that need to do something here at the altar. I pray they'll do it. I know there's a family going to come tonight to join our church, and I thank you for them, Father. So God, as you work in our hearts tonight, do your work. We pray in Christ's name. Let's all stand.